بحزنها يتعالى وانها لما يمر اسمك بس ما اسمك ذكرى تسبقني عبره من اذكرك ونت اوجاعي يا حسين نادي والون زادي لمصيبتك تلطم اضلاعي والناعي ينعى يومك يفجعه عرش الله ظل مصابك ناعي
يا حسين
لمصيبتك
يا حسين
من غربتك انا كل عمري القم بصدري تبقى على خدي عيني بنجايا
الحزن راية وكربل الغاية
غاية
الحزن راية وكربل الغاية.
Respected viewers, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to a new episode of 1376, the first ziyarah ever made to Imam al-Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. The numbers I just mentioned, 1376, resemble the first ziyarah which is made and performed by Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, who is considered the first zair to Imam al-Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. In this series of episodes, we are going to take a look at a series of episodes from Path to Paradise and discuss the experiences of the pilgrims who arrive from abroad to come to visit Imam Hussein salawatullahi alayhi during Ziyarat al-Arba'een. I will also try my best, insha'Allah, to discuss the significance of Ziyarat al-Arba'een according to Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi alayhim ajma'een.
دمعاتي من دم وعلى الوجه تلطم دمعاتي وعلى المنابر صوت الضماير اسمك يفزز كل وناتي يومك ذكرته قلبي حفرته وبصدري مذبوحة عبراتي لا ما نسيتك عمري بيشيتك ما تنطفي ناري بحسراتي
يا حسين
أرض وسماء تبكي بدمع الطم براسي قطعة انفاسي حتى بعد البين عيني بتشايا
للحزن راية
As narrated in كامل الزيارات إمام الصادق عليه السلام mentioned the significance of زيارة الأربعين where he says Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi alayhi wa ala ali bayti al-tayyibin al-tahirin, Imam Ali, Fatima and the 11 Imams descending from Fatima al-Zahra will shake the hands of every za'ir that comes to the holy shrine of Imam Hussein and will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his sins. Imam al-Sadiq salawatullahi alayhi says to Muawiyah bin Wahab, a great companion of Imam al-Sadiq, he says, O Muawiyah, do not forsake the ziyarah of Imam Hussein because of fear, because the one who abandons the ziyarah of Imam Hussein, he will regret it so much that he wishes his grave was beside him. He says to him, don't you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see you among the ones who Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Imam Ali, Fatima al-Zahra and the Imams seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sins of those people who come to visit Imam Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. When the companions and the people heard Imam al-Sadiq, they asked him, even Fatima al-Zahra, because as everyone knows, Fatima al-Zahra is known for her devotion. She is known for her worship and she is incomparable with any person and with any worshipper in history. So they asked, even Fatima al-Zahra ibn Rasulullah, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, indeed, Fatima al-Zahra visits Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, visits the one who performs ziyarah to her son, Imam al-Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his sins from the day he was born. When we hear of such narrations, we see that the blessings that are found and that can be experienced during Ziyarat al-Arba'een are highly regarded to Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi alayhim. Because if Ziyarat al-Arba'een wasn't so highly regarded, Ahlul Bayt wouldn't have prayed for the Zuwar. They wouldn't have said or wouldn't have narrated such narrations regarding the holiness of Ziyarat al-Arba'een and the holiness of the Zuwar who come to perform Ziyarat al-Arba'een to Imam al-Husayn salawatullahi alayhi. I would like to share a short story with you respected viewers and my brothers and sisters. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, as I mentioned, the first Zair, the first pilgrim to Imam al-Husayn salawatullahi alayhi, mentions a story narrated by Fatimah al-Zahra salawatullahi alayha, where he says Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once kissed Imam al-Hasan on his lips and Imam al-Husayn on his neck. Imam al-Husayn, when he saw this, he was a bit saddened. He went to Fatima al-Zahra, his mother, and said, "Oh mother, why did Rasulullah do this? He kissed Hassan on his lips and he kissed me on his neck. Is there something wrong with me?" Fatima al-Zahra said, "Hold on, my little son. Let's go ask Rasulullah himself." As they went to Rasulullah, when they arrived, they found out that Imam Ali alayhi salam was already there. Fatima al-Zahra said to her father, "Ya Rasulullah, why did you do this? You kissed Hassan on his lips and Hussein on his neck. What is the reason behind this action?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, "Oh my daughter, oh my beloved daughter, it is very difficult for me to express and reveal the reason behind my action." But Fatima al-Zahra insisted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Oh Fatima, I kissed Hassan on his lips because that's the place where he will drink the poison, because he will die as a result of poison. And I kissed Hussein on his neck because that's the place where the swords will bash, because he will be slaughtered in the land of Karbala." Fatima al-Zahra looked at her father, shocked and traumatized. She said, "Oh father, this will happen to my son? My beloved son will get slaughtered?" He said, "Yes, Ya Fatima. Yes, O Fatima, in a place where Hassan will not be present, none of us will be there." She said, "Ya Rasulullah, O Abatah, O my father, who will be there to cry over him? Who will bury him? Who will chant his name? Who will establish majalis in his name?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created." It is significant to look at these words. Rasulullah says, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created lovers, followers, and Shia, true Shia of Imam al-Husayn, who will chant his name, who will love him, who will spread his message, spread his oppression." Because as everyone knows, Imam al-Husayn was the reason behind the continuation of Islam. Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullahi alayha, when she heard this, she was satisfied. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, then how can we honor? How do we return the favor of those people?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, "I will be their intercessor on the day of judgment." Fatima al-Zahra said, "I will take their hand and guide them into heaven." Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib says, "I will guide them on Sirat al-Mustaqim." As narrated by Ahlul Bayt, Sirat al-Mustaqim is a road passing over hell, passing over all of the difficulties of the Day of Judgment. As narrated in the books of Shia, it is thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib will take the hand of the Zair of Imam al-Husayn salawatullahi alayh and guide him through that difficult road. When they looked at Imam Husayn salawatullahi alayh, they found him sad with his head between his knees. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Husayn, "Oh Husayn, How will you reward? How will you honor your Zair, your pilgrim? Imam Hussein alayhi salam lifted his head and said, I will be there for them in two places and in two occasions. He said, I will be there at the time of death where the Muslim and the Shia and the follower of Ahlul Bayt and lover of Ahlul Bayt would pronounce the Shahadatain. And the time, Imam Hussein will be present at the time where the Mu'min goes and the Za'ir goes into his grave, where Munkar and Nakir will meet them, and Imam Hussein will tell them that, wait, hold on, he is my Za'ir, I will guide him into heaven. When we hear of such narrations, we see that when we come to Ziyarat al-Arba'een, Ziyarat al-Arba'een, as I mentioned, is regarded very highly to Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi alayhim. If it wasn't regarded so highly, then we would have seen any other holy occasion more holy than Ziyarat al-Arba'een. But because Imam al-Hussein died for the religion of Islam, we see that Rasulullah, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein and 124,000 prophets come to shake the Zaire's hand when he enters Imam al-Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. Also, when we hear of such a narration, we see that when we are called Zair, when we are called the Zuwar of Aba Abdullah, the Zuwar of Imam al-Hussein, this is very highly regarded to Ahl Bayt salawatullahi alayhim. And this is a responsibility to reflect the true teachings, the true manners of Ahlul Bayt, the true manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, which he came to perfect. And this experience should be shared with everyone around us. When we go back to our homes, when we go back to where we came from, we should share the experiences, because Ahlul Bayt told us to do that. So we can be the reason behind the ziyarah of other people around us, so we can positively impact the people around us to make them better people. حالة تقدر من شفت الأكبر سيوف ورماح الموت توذره عبد الله وانا هود وينينا نبلة رضيعك ظلت جامرة ظهرك حينيته قلبك لقيته فوق النهر لا يمنى ويسرى يا حسين طاح القمر يا حسين هامن طبار تدري عباسه غيب انفاسك وانا للشفين عيني بجاية. Regarding the holiness of Ziyarat al-Arba'een, Sayyid Sadiq al-Shirazi stated during his last lecture on the previous Arba'een, regarding the holiness of Ziyarat al-Arba'een, he said, Husseini rituals are as important as Allah's ritual. As a matter of fact, they are Allah's ritual. Because when we read such significance, if Ziyarat al-Arba'een wasn't a significant ritual to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it wouldn't be highly regarded by 124,000 prophets. As a matter of fact, scholars even say, and Ahlul Bayt have narrated, that Ziyarat al-Arba'een is holier than Laylatul Qadr. Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr. The night of Qadr is more holy than 1,000 months. Ahlul Bayt say that Ziyarat al-Arba'een is holier and better than 1,000 years. And as I mentioned in a previous episode, if Ziyarat al-Arba'een was less holy than Laylatul Qadr, then Imam al-Askari salawatullahi alayhi, Imam Hassan al-Askari, would have mentioned it in a characteristic when he says there are 5 characteristics of a true believer. One of them is Ziyarat al-Arba'een. He did not mention worship Laylatul Qadr during the month of Ramadan. No, he said Ziyarat al-Arba'een, because 124,000 prophets shake the hand of the Za'ir. Also, Sayyid Sadiq al-Shirazi continues by saying there is freedom in the current world, especially in the Western and in the social media. So try to use that to your advantage. Try to spread the message of Imam Hussein salawatullahi alayh. Because if one person reads a blog, reads a tweet, reads a Facebook share, reads a Facebook post, and learns something from that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you 100 times more than that person who learned it. عشق تو پاکه شکر خدا که تو هیئت تو سین زن شدم اگه گداتم از نوکراتم از کرم امام حسن شدم غم تو موندم آخرش مردم با پیرن سیاه کفن شدم غم تو موندم آخرش مردم با پیرن سیاه کفن شدم کرب و بلا کرب و بلا باز ببین اومدم با یه چشمان خیز جز به گریه کنان آقا اسممو بنویس بنویس للحزن رایه. In this portion of the episode, we are going to look at the experiences of the pilgrim of the Zuwar who come from abroad to visit Imam Hussein salawatullah alayhi during Ziyarat al-Arba'een. However, particularly in this episode, we are going to look at the experiences of Nicole Kurori, who is a convert to Islam from the United States. She explains the feelings, the emotions, her experiences as she walked from Najaf to Karbala. After being a Muslim for years and after reading about Islam and Ahlul Bayt, visiting Karbala, visiting Imam Hussein salawatullahi alayhi and Abu al-Fadl Abbas was the next stage for her. As she was accompanied by her oldest daughter. After arriving at the holy city of Najaf, at Najaf International Airport, Nicole and her daughter went to visit the holy shrine of Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi alayhi and took permission from him to walk to Karbala. As they walk to Karbala, Nicole expresses the circumstances of walking to Karbala, and she tried to explain, and as she was accompanied by her daughter for the first time, she tried to explain every single step that from Najaf to Karbala, why we would do this, why this is the significance of Ziyarat al-Arba'een according to Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi alayhim. She had to make sure that she explained everything to her daughter. However, Nicole's experiences, feeling and emotion that she expressed during this episode of Path to Paradise, we see that Nicole has a different feeling because she visited Hussein previously, but the second visit was different. So she sends a message to the viewers of and to the lovers of Imam Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. So please stay tuned for that episode. تالي تشوفك كعبة وتطوفك وانت ذبيح وجسمك دامي اه على زينب بالغربة تنحب نادت شي طفي نار خيامي وين الكفلني بعد يذلني دهري وحرد ما بين ايتامي وينك علي يا حسين تحضر الي هذي بيت حدار وصفة يسار حق أبو الحسنين عيني. Respected viewers, brothers and sisters, thank you very much once again for tuning in our new show and this episode. Stay tuned for the next episode, and inshallah, I will get to see you on the roads of Karbala, walking from Najaf to Karbala, or in the holy city, inside the holy city between Haramain. So please stay tuned for the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wish you were here. speak. My tear is burning my cheek. I don't know how I could speak.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Nicole Kareri, and I'm a convert to Islam. I live in Northern Virginia near Washington, D.C. And my life is full of taking care of children, teaching, and primarily being a student of Islam. My background's in psychology. I've studied up to the doctoral level in psychology, and I have also a background in education. Today I'm primarily using my work on behalf of my children whom I homeschool. And I have three girls who I look after, and of course a family, husband, and my days are very full looking after them. As a convert to Islam, one of the things that I've always been striving for is to understand this religion more deeply and more meaningfully. I'm the kind of person who takes things quite seriously, and when I get involved in something, I do it with all my heart and with all my mind and all my energy. And over the years, alhamdulillah, different opportunities have arisen for me to learn about the religion. I've been blessed with many great teachers, starting with my tafsir teacher, with whom I became introduced to Islam in more depth, and in front of whom I became Muslim. And over the years, I've had the opportunity to hear excellent speakers who've really enriched my understanding of Islam in general, but more specifically, my love for the Ahlul Bayt. And because of these wonderful speakers who predominantly work to educate the English-speaking community, I have really increased my knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt, my love of the Ahlul Bayt, and my commitment to this identity as a Shia Muslim. And to them, I'm very, very grateful. And on this journey, one of the opportunities that has come about is this chance to go on ziyara. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, I was invited to make the ziyara in 2012, Arba'in. And going right into the early parts of 2013, that was an amazing experience for me. And it was really about going to that next level in my devotion, the next level in my commitment, my next level in really understanding my religion more personally and more in depth, and creating that connection with the beloved Ahlul Bayt. So when I became Muslim, it was received a little bit difficultly at first. On the one hand, my dad was very supportive. On the other hand, my mother was very anxious about this decision, and our relationship became difficult and strained for many years. But with time and with patience and with maturity, she came around and our relationship grew, and we have a very warm and connected relationship today. And mostly because she's very happy to see how my life turned out. You know, she was very pleased to see my children and how well they've turned out. In fact, my parents became so pleased with how I've raised them that they said to me one day, very recently, "Nicole, we are so happy your daughters wear hijab." And this is coming from parents who originally were opposed to hijab altogether. But when they saw that the girls were mature, that the hijab protected them, they actually said that. It was an amazing experience. And in a way, because they've made me so open and interested in life, I think it's one of the reasons why I was able to go on a trip to Iraq for this ziyara. In terms of preparing for this ziyara, it's my motivation is really about allowing my eldest daughter to have this connection, this experience, and fulfill her niyyah of wanting to go on ziyara as well. She felt very strongly about going when I went the previous year, last year, but she wasn't able to. And because she had such a strong longing, my intention was really tied with hers, and I really wanted to give her this opportunity. So that was the motivation behind preparing for this trip this year. And as always, it happened, you know, in a way last minute. Gave a call, things were, you know,
right by the deadline, we need this, we need that. Alhamdulillah, all the pieces fell in place. And what that made me feel like is that Alhamdulillah, the imams were calling us, that we were truly invited again, and that it was meant to be for us to do this trip. So I was really excited about the fact that everything fell into place and we were able to go.
I've said before that one of the things that was important to me in terms of going the first time on Ziyarah, I didn't want to go and burden myself with all the do's and don'ts. I wanted to just go and connect with my heart, connect with my whole being, and put aside any expectations about what the trip would be like, how I would manage it, what the connection experience would be like in terms of relating to the imams in this very real and physical way by being literally in their presence. I wanted to be completely open to that. So on my first journey, my goal was just to go without burdens, without expectations, and just receive whatever it was that I could from that experience. And it affected me in many ways. One, courage is something that grew in me, because when I returned, my father fell ill. And shortly after my return in March of last year, he passed away. And I believe that had I not gone on that trip, I may have found his passing much more difficult to handle. I really feel like that ziyarah prepared me for that experience in a lot of ways. So in terms of preparing for the next ziyarah, I'm really looking forward to then increasing that level of connection with the imams and increasing my understanding of them, my knowledge of them, and my devotion to them. And again, I intend to go without expectations, but this time I'm going by reading more, preparing more, bringing more into my consciousness purposefully, so my thinking is more engaged as well in this journey, whereas last time I really went fully with the heart open. This time I want to go with more of that deeper understanding, and hopefully, inshallah, take this relationship to another level. And I kind of hope that it's a journey that I will continue throughout my life, because I feel like it's the next level of my spiritual growth and my spiritual development, having that relationship with them, by visiting them, by being close to them, and by, inshallah, really waiting for the arrival of Imam Zaman, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif.
So here we are at Halal Co. This is the place where we get our food, our halal meat. And in fact, the butchers here, they know my mom so well that they give her special treatment. She gets better cuts of meat than I do. Come on over here. Mukhtar, assalamu alaikum. How are you? My mom says salam. She's asking for you. She had her knee replaced, so she was in the hospital. Now she's in rehab. She's doing much better. She asked for you. Keep her in your du'as, okay? Grab a potato.
So in a way, this journey has been, even prior to my birth, it started off in a land where, you know, I was surrounded by Muslims and had the awareness of the Arabic language to some extent. And it's, in having an outlook towards spirituality, I think is something that my mother and father gave me in a way, indirectly, because neither of them were very dogmatic in their approach, in their religious life. My father, not at all interested in church. My mother had attended periodically her Catholic church over time. But what they both had is decency and honesty and sensitivity and heart. And I'm very grateful for that, because What is this religion or any religion if you don't have that basic sensitivity and compassion for other people? And at least that striving to have that compassion and interest in others. Because we're not perfect, but at least if we have that, we have something great and we can build on it. So with time, you know, I grew in my interest towards really discovering spirituality in general, studying religion and so forth, and I made my journey towards Islam. But prior to actually even considering becoming Muslim, when I was a student at George Washington University right here in downtown DC, nearby where I live here in Virginia, I went to the metro one day and was waiting for a friend. And this man who was one of the vendors at the metro station began speaking to me, and he offered me a Holy Quran. And I accepted it and thought, well, isn't this interesting? I brought it home, I read it, and I looked through it and tried to get familiar with it. I didn't have any grounding or basis in it, so it was just a simple review. I thought it was fine, had no objections, nothing concerned me. I found that I could relate to it to some extent. Well, this particular Quran has gotten a lot of good use and is now well-worn and well-loved because it's been one of my primary resources from the time I actually did accept Islam and used to go to a tafsir class. And so it's something that I cherish. And interestingly, the man who gave me this Quran, his name was Nasir, which means the helper. And it just couldn't be a more beautiful name. And my name, Nicole, because everybody asks, why don't you change your name? I say, my name, Nicole, means victory of the people. And that's almost equivalent to the name Nasir. So in my mind and in my heart, sometimes I think that if I did choose a Muslim name, it would be Nasira, the female version of that name. Inshallah, I'm someone who can be of benefit to others and bring victory to people, but victory in the sense of success in the path of Allah and the Ahlul Bayt.
I'm anxious, I'm excited, and I'm above all honored to be on this walk again. This is my second time coming for the Ziyarah of Imam Hussein during Arba'een. Last year I came by myself and it was an intensive experience, and this time I brought my daughter with me because she had such an intense desire to come and visit Imam Hussein. And so for her sake, I've been able to be here again, alhamdulillah. I feel like this is a big sacrifice, and this is a big pledge to honor the Ahlul Bayt and all they have done to guide us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're our lights, they're our path, they're our gifts from Allah to help us and to guide us, and I'm just honored to be able to connect to that and to recognize that, and through this physical sacrifice, if you will, this endurance, that I'm remembering their sacrifice. And so I'm mentally thinking of all of this now as I begin this journey, inshallah, and looking forward to arriving at the holy shrines, inshallah, in a couple days.
Holy name of Allah, they try.
Fighters who
day one of the walk was begun with a visit to the shrine of Imam Ali. It was very crowded. We actually had quite a large group with us, and we were trying to make our way through the haram and find a place to give our final salams before we head on the walk. Unfortunately, it was so crowded, we couldn't stop as a group. So we passed by the haram, and each individually gave our salams and farewell to Imam Ali, alayhi salam, and then we headed out to the main road and began the walk. It was a large group, so the pace at the beginning was fairly slow, but eventually we picked up our pace and found our rhythm as we began to spread out. And the goal for myself this time was to just keep a steady pace and try to move forward and arrive at the mokib, or the tent, the hospitality tent, before Maghrib.
And alhamdulillah, the walk started out really well. The crowd was very positive. The companions who I was walking with were very positive. And we were noticing the numbers of the signs. And they were already in the hundreds. So many of my companions were getting excited, thinking we were close to our final destination, which was technically in the 200s. And I said, no, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but these are just the Najaf portion of the poles, since we mark the distance by these pole numbers. And they were so disappointed. Anyway, we stopped for Salatul Dhuhr and Asr. And each time we've ever stopped, myself or my companions, they're always very curious about us because we're speaking English, we look different. We always have someone ask us, are you from here? And we tell them, of course, no, we're from America. Oh, are you Muslim, they ask us? Yes. Are you Shia? Yes, we're Muslim, we're Shia, we're from America. And most of the time, they're really intrigued by it. And usually there's some younger girls who tend to gravitate towards us and are curious. If they know a little English, they'll try to speak it to us. So what's lovely about this is people are interested to meet other Muslims from around the world, and you're just welcomed always at these mawqifs so generously. So alhamdulillah, we made our salah, we were able to have a little time to rest, and we carried on. And as we continued again, we began to keep a good pace, trying to focus on just getting to our destination and not being too concerned about any aches or pains or discomforts, but just to keep forward. And the motivation that I find, not only when I reflect on the life of the Ahlul Bayt and the suffering that they went through, that we're here to commemorate and recognize, and what's really the motivation, the primary motivation of the walk, but also seeing all the variety of people, young, old, elderly, people who are moving either with a wheelchair or on crutches or with a cane, and any kind of pain or ache that I might have had, I ignore it when I see someone like that. I did not have as much pain this second year as I did the very first year. Very first year, after 2 hours of walking, my back began to ache quite a bit. And after a little bit more, then my legs were burning, just burning. This time, I found that I just had a bit of pain in my feet, and I was able to manage, you know, like my body was just much more able to manage the walk physically. And in fact, the result of that was that I did arrive at the Mokib before Maghrib, about an hour before Maghrib, which was to me a great success. That was kind of a goal of mine, to reach that destination with that time to spare so that I can get a good rest and inshallah be ready for the next day. And alhamdulillah, I was blessed with that opportunity.
Come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me.
I feel like I'm just a drop in this ocean of the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, because you just look before you and you see this multitudes of people before you, and it's just humbling. It gives me perspective on the reality of life as well as the reality of my personal sense of self. I'm just one of this multitude of people who love the Ahlul Bayt, and together we coming en masse to claim that we love Imam Hussein, that we're here to stand by him.
Holy Prophet's name is written in the place of knowledge. It means they have that for us. Then what else does Imam Baqir say? He says the throne is the religion of truth. The throne is what's the religion of truth? The deen al-haq. The deen al-haq. So the throne is not only the most elevated place where the names of the imams are written, the place of knowledge, it is the religion itself. And the imams and the Holy Prophet, their names are written there, and they bring this guide, this light to us. And if we understand that, if we can understand how important that is, then we are going to have this ziyarah accepted. Because that's the first thing you need to understand.
So the first night was a restful night, alhamdulillah, and I prepared really well. I brought earplugs. So I didn't have any distraction, any sound, you know, because it's a room full of, you know, almost 100 women and children, and there's plenty of noise. So I wanted to make sure that I took care of myself so that I could accomplish this task. And in fact, we did. And we were joking together about all the different things we could do and make a list that would assist other people who would want to attempt this walk, that would facilitate a successful walk. You know, alhamdulillah, as I may have mentioned before, this year I have my daughter accompanying me. So part of my attention has been on her, make sure she's well, make sure she's taken care of, make sure she's next to me and we're able to kind of accomplish this together. So really, part of my attention is not only on my own effort, but on her success as well and her well-being. So the second day was a longer day, and I had told her about that and prepared her for that as well. And I said, you know, you need to know that this is going to be the longest day, one of the longest days of the walk. And we're going to try to cover much more ground because we're starting out much earlier and we are going to end, you know, in the evening. Whereas the other day we pretty much walked half the daylight time. So it was, again, you had to kind of motivate yourself to the next level. And what's fascinating about this journey is in life, we, in our daily routines, we don't recognize the amount of strength that we have or the amount of willpower we have. But in this scenario, we've got this end goal of reaching Karbala to honor Imam Hussein and his family and their sacrifices. And so that is such an incredible motivation. And it pushes you beyond every physical limit that you think you have in terms of physical endurance, mental endurance, how much time you can actually remain on your feet in a day. I mean, this is just remarkable that you can actually accomplish this. It's almost unheard of, really. It's quite a feat. Now the third day was a bit challenging for me. My energy was definitely declining and my feet were really hurting. I had the tendons on the top of my feet that were really tender and sore and I was lagging behind. So I couldn't keep up with my daughter and our other companions who were walking with us. And I just had to let them go ahead. I had to slow down. I had to sit down. And they ended up going ahead a bit. Eventually we met up again and were able to continue walking. So I carried on forward walking with another group of the Zuars from our particular journey group. And they were wonderful too. They were very helpful and very motivational and they kept the pace and kept us moving forward, alhamdulillah. And so I met up with a couple other friends as well and spoke to them and they kept me going. And we managed to arrive at the next stop, 1200. And there we saw all our group again and regrouped. And this was the time where we're going to begin to enter into the city of Karbala.
Experience like no other. Everybody in the world is looking for five star. They want the best. They want to be treated the best. And so many people around the world, they want to pay top dollar for this elite position. But here, for free, you have people who take care of you and give you everything they have because of the love of the Holy Prophet and his beloved family, our guides to Allah. They do it for you out of the devotion to Imam Hussein and his family. They'll give you the clothes off their back. They'll sit and massage your feet, and they'll give you a smile. They'll feed you. When I was resting after our salah yesterday, I laid down. I was very tired. And I didn't pick up a blanket because I just wanted to rest quickly. SubhanAllah, a woman I don't know, an old elderly woman, probably from a village here, who's never seen someone from America, she was laying down, and before I realized it, she had covered me with her blanket. She saw me laying without a blanket and she covered me. She tucked me in. Who is she? What does she owe me? But she took care of me. She nurtured me because she's a lover of Imam Hussein. And I'm a lover of Imam Hussein, and we're both on this journey. This woman who comes from a village and someone who comes from the United States, and together we meet, and I'm taken care of by this woman through her heart and devotion and love of Allah. Alhamdulillah.
It was challenging, without a doubt, but it was also amazing that we were able to, again, arrive in this holy city. Alhamdulillah, mostly through walking, and not without the support of so many individuals who make this event possible. Well, I've talked about how we felt physically through the walk, but honestly, seeing each and every person who's there to serve the Zawaras is one of the most humbling experiences of my life. And it's one of the things that's touched my mother, who's not a Muslim, in a really deep and sincere way. And she said to me before I left, pray for each and every one of those people serving the people who are walking. Pray for each and every one of them, because my heart is so sincerely touched and humbled by them. She is just in awe of the dedication and devotion that these people who barely have anything to support their own lives are being so generous with each and every person coming for the sake of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family. And that's really the most amazing thing. Last year I was ill and I wasn't able to complete the julus, which is again the procession. It's a really special opportunity because you're amongst thousands of other people from different countries who've all come to honor Imam Hussein and the tragedy in Karbala through basically presenting themselves as a group. Usually they come with chanting nohas or lamentations or other types of chants like, "Oh Hussein, we are coming towards you," which is Labbaik Ya Hussein. And the groups are all coming from different countries. We saw a Turkish Shia group in the procession. We saw Bahrainis. We saw all kinds of people from Iran and all over Iraq. And it's just amazing. Sometimes they come and they're all wearing similar clothing, or they have a certain color or banner that they present to honor Imam Hussein. What's amazing about it is just that you are one amongst these thousands and thousands of people who are just flowing into this courtyard, if you will, to honor and to commemorate the events of Karbala and the day of Ashura in particular, and to acknowledge that we won't forget the sacrifice of Imam Hussein and the justice that he upheld in face of so many threats of tyranny and oppression. I think the most important thing to recognize is that it's truly a sacred place. And it is really where the struggle of good and evil has taken place from the beginning of time. And we see that culminating in the tragedy at Karbala, where you have again the last prophets, spiritual guide left on earth, the imams, who are there to maintain the religion, continue the religion, and continue to guide the people, and to continue to demonstrate and reflect the religion to the people, and bring the light of Allah forward, taken, barbarically taken from this earth in such an inhumane way. And here is where that struggle took place. And you're coming here to confirm where you stand spiritually, where you stand as a human being. You know, there's other people who come on this walk from different religions. There are Hindus even who come. There are people from the Vatican who have come this year to recognize the tragedy of Karbala and the struggles of Imam Hussein and what he stood for, alayhi salam. There are people from other Christian groups, even Orthodox Christians, have come on this walk. Other people around the world recognize the nobility of the Imam and of the Ahlul Bayt, and they come to honor that as well. If they can come, for sure our Shia can come and stand by Imam Hussein and honor him and recognize him and thank him and ask to be connected to him by being in close proximity to his haram, inshallah.